passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. As we continue, second hour, John Talty will join us in a few minutes to get an update on a lot of the changes that have been made at the Alabama coaching staff. We'll also get his thoughts on some other news in Tuscaloosa this week that has blown up. More of your phone calls right now, and DeBam is up next.
Paul,
what's up,
Paul,
man?
Paul. I can't get no satisfaction, Paul, and I'm so sorry. I got to ask for your permission to get some for us little fellas. And it's going to take your permission for me to talk to them little fellas out there that just don't like us. Can I get your permission to do that?
You have my permission to say whatever you'd like.
Well, this is the thing, Paul. I'm going to have to write it down. I'm going to have to script it. Because there's so much that I say in my language that don't fit into your language, your show. And God bless Dominic. I mean, my advice to him, young man, just be yourself. But I'm going to have to script the call because I'm so tired of these callers coming in about us little fellas. And I'm probably the littlest fella of them all. And I'm just going to have to write it down because every time I come in and try to talk, some kind of word gets fouled up and I get, I don't get to finish my call.
Before you go any further, we have some, it's a family network. So when a caller goes over a certain line, it's not like we look at each other and have a meeting. We don't go down to Naples for a week long conference. We just pull the plug. We do not ask. We do not stop. We do not pass go. You're gone.
So, I mean, all I've got to do is write a script.
No, all you have to do is talk like you would talk civilly, and you're going to get it. No, and we'd appreciate if you would start doing that right now.
Well, I'm talking as civilly as I possibly can.
Yeah, but you're talking civilly, but you're not really saying anything. You're going in circles right now, Bam.
Well, you got the little fella here that's got to say something to the littler fella out there in Montgomery,
right?
The ass man. And I can't do it on this call because I ain't got it written down. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not.
Bam, at this point in time, Randy,
he has no memory.
You are not making any sense.
Well, I'm so sorry about that. I mean, it's one of them, I'm trying to get satisfaction. I ain't got no satisfaction, but you got this one call.
Did you know on that song, apparently Keith Richards woke up in the middle of the night. You ever heard the story? And started doing the licks on Satisfaction.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think he as soon as Mick woke up, they were at a motel in Florida. Mick walked out to the swimming pool, Bam.
Yep.
Wrote the song in 10 minutes. One of their most famous and highly regarded songs they've ever done. Anyway, we all were blessed by it, and I don't mean to be a hog here, but my hitting the off button on Bam, we all received a blessing from above.
Yes, yes.
So thank you, or thank me, I should be saying. Swamp Dog is up next.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you doing?
Very well.
I usually call you and talk to you about football and maybe some music. I appreciate you talking about music there.
You bet.
But and I want to give a little shout out before I get to what I really called you about. I appreciate Eli Gold, and I know the fan base that loves him, just like the fan base at Georgia loved Larry Munson. He grew up on that, you know. I'm old enough to know about the radio guys, you know, and how much it means to everybody. You know, it's very important. Somebody been there 30 something years, you know, that's all you know. They're the voice of your team. But what I really wanted to call you about today was a caller from yesterday. I don't normally jump on other callers, But somebody called yesterday accusing me of stealing the name that I used to call this show, of stealing it from somebody. And I did not do that. I made that name up myself. And you know why I did it? Because of where I'm located. And I'm a dog fan. And his name is Orson from Alabama. I don't know. I never seen
him.
Yeah, I
do remember that.
Yeah. He was saying that, and maybe there was another one, but I didn't know about it. And that's not, he was trying to say that I'm just using that name to get on your show or something. And that's not the truth. And I just wanted to make that clear today.
Well, that's really glad. Thank you so much. These last two calls, Randy, have me starting to seriously wonder whether there should be a program tomorrow. But we are going to save the day by going to Logan.
Hey, Paul. Thank you, man. Thank you for coming to me. I just want to say, never take a call from Wicksburg, Alabama. That is a bad decision. That guy was, yeah, just don't take a call from Wicksburg, Alabama. You'll be better for it.
Yeah.
But,
I already feel
hey,
better.
Man, I'm still smart. Well, no. I love Dan. I love the screener, but, yeah, I gave him a little bit of advice today. Like, if somebody called in from Wicksburg, Alabama, you just hang up on them, man.
Okay, we got it.
Trust me. All right, cool. Hey, so Eli Gold thing, I was a little bit upset still. So he didn't have a choice, is from what you said. But
no, this is not what I said. This is what he said.
Okay.
He said in an interview today with Mark Heim down in Mobile, mm-hmm. that he was given an opportunity to do the spring game, and they were going to honor him, and that was it. Essentially, they're saying it's over. He asked and said, listen, what about one more year, and then I'll retire, and they said no.
Gotcha. Okay. That, to me, that hurts, man. I mean, and I don't know. I don't
he
want
also
to
said that
the guy
they were on the – listen, I'm not taking sides here. Because I don't know, I don't know both sides, but I do know the people at Alabama involved with the decision, and I'm willing to venture they had some specific grievances with him.
Oh, really, Paul? That's weird. I didn't know that.
Well, that's now out in the open.
I guess it'll come out in the open. Yeah.
There'll be a John Talty is working on a book on this right now. He'll be on in a few minutes.
That's awesome. But hey, about Jim quitting the show, man. Hey, Jim, I know you're listening. How are you doing, Lewis? Hey, man, stop calling in. If you really want to quit the show, really quit the show, man. Stop calling in. You got your ass kicked by Johnny B the other day, so you should just retire for a while. If you want to call back in, come back in with something good, man. I mean, he has about one good call every 3 weeks, and I mean, come on, man. You can do better than that. But anyway, Paul, I wanted to talk about the basketball game last night. What did you think about the Tide coming back from that?
Well, you know, I thought a lot about it. I have to tell you how impressed I was with Florida, though. I mean, they went into one of the toughest places in the SEC, Logan, and had a chance to win at the end. That was we haven't even mentioned the biggest story of the night, and that was LSU stunning Kentucky. Kentucky did everything they needed to do at the end of the game. They came. They had a big lead. They blew it. They came from behind. But LSU made the shot at the end off of, I think it was a block, wasn't it? Yeah. It was an amazing finish. JB is up next in Huntsville. Hello, JB.
Hey, Paul. It's obviously good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about here. It's almost tiring to hear all these people call in and talk about how Kentucky has been this or Kentucky has been that. Kentucky is a dying, school. They're pitiful. Matt Jones, of KSR Radio, gets on and just absolutely tries to defend John Calipari at almost his every move. Where on the other hand, I want to talk about Alabama and what Nate Oates has done over the last couple of years. You know, the guy's won two SEC titles in 5 years, won the Coach of the Year in 2021. And it's just, it kills me that, in football, I guess we get Alabama football kind of drives the show a lot, and maybe not so much as of late with Kalen DeBoer, but Kentucky basketball is kind of the same thing. And Paul, they're just pitiful. And I think it's kind of time we recognize that there's a new emerging school here, and it's Alabama and they know.
Yeah, you know, I always look at it this way, JB. If you're an AD, and I realize it's not fair because Calipari is in his 60s, but if you take all of that out and you said, who would you rather have coaching your program, Nate Oates or John Calipari? I don't think that's a very difficult thing to answer, do you?
It's Nate Oates for sure. And you know, Kentucky gave them this lifetime contract, and I'm sure that there's somebody back there ready to rip that up.
But by the way, if you had asked me the same question in football, Nick Saban is going to be the answer. I don't care how old he is. You still want Nick Saban coaching your program. You can't answer that about John Calipari.
And so yesterday on the program, I think it was JK or, you know, somebody that said that they live and die by the three. Last night, they really fought hard. And you know, that, and obviously when the three ball wasn't dropping. But the last thing I want to talk about is, do you remember James from Birmingham? He would call the guy that does the book, and he talks like this, Paul. Well, Paul, how about, you know what I'm talking about, James?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so do you not get the same feeling of just what the hell is going on every time Bash calls your program?
Well, here's what I think. Bash is a student at Colorado. Bash goes to class in the morning. What time is it out there? Are they in Pacific or Mountain Time? Mountain Time?
It's close to 4:20.
So at 2:00 in the afternoon. So Bash, how'd you know? Bash gets out of class. He goes by, you know, grabs a burger. He goes to his apartment, gets high.
Listen
to some Grateful Dead. And then he's somehow able to dial the numbers to the show. I guess he's got it in his phone. And then he houses on until we go to him, and then he makes no sense.
It's like speed dial, I think, for him. You know, like the older people when they fall and I can't get up, necklace on their ring. That's what he's got. It's I call Paul, and he talks with no emotion. It's just boring as all hell.
Hey, Paul, Bash Brother, what'd you say?
Bash Brother Paul. Bash Brother Randy.
Bash Brother Paul. What's going on, man?
He's awful, bro.
Hey, Randy, roll tide. He thinks Randy went to Alabama. Have you ever been to Alabama?
Do you remember the beginning? do you remember the beginning when he was calling Paul? And he actually didn't bring up Alabama in his first couple calls.
No, he's a phony Alabama fan.
Alabama fan. He's absolutely fake as can be.
The difference between Bash and the two of us, we're not high. Actually remember. He started talking about Deion Sanders.
Yes, in Colorado.
Oh, he's prime, man. What about it? You got the receipts on you, Paul. When Deion Sanders became irrelevant after losing his last 8 games, Bash became a Bama fan.
Well, back to the Tide, he's on the devil's lettuce, and it's probably time for Bash to get off of it.
Bash just needs to wean himself off that weed before he calls.
Stay off the weed. See you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks. We broke the code on Bash. We'll take a short break. John Talty, who is not high right now, will join us in a few minutes. More guests, including David Hale, later on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back as we continue here. Diane is in Athens. So hello, Diane. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I had an idea regarding how to calculate CFP standings and take some of the subjectivity out of it and put objectivity into this so we could all see it. And it would be easy and introduce some transparency. So, okay, so it's sort of like this. If you have a conference win, it's 2 points. If you have a non-conference win, it's 1 point. So you've won two games, one of each, that's 3 points. In your game, one of those games, I say, each touchdown is worth 2 points, point after is worth one. So if you score three touchdowns, you have 9 points. Field goal may be 1 point. That'll push you over to 10. So if you had 3 points total for those two wins, you score enough, however that is, however many points. Each scoring is worth something. That'll push you to 4 points.
Diane, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's an interesting proposal. It's not happening, though, but I just wanted to stop you before you got too deep in the weeds.
No, I know it's not happening, but it doesn't hurt to think about an objective way to give points and reward effort for touchdowns, field goals, point afters, and 2-point conversions. That's it.
Well, thank you very much for sharing it. Paul is up next in Florida. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul, how are you? So I want to shift gears just a bit if I can.
Sure.
I'm a combat wounded Marine, got wounded 3 times in Southeast Asia. I was in the 26th Marines, 5th Marine Division. 5th Marine Division, by the way, is the same ones that raise the colors on Iwo Jima tomorrow, February 23rd, 1945.
Wow. That's an amazing moment in time.
It was. And, Paul, I can show you pictures where the first wave hit the beach, and it wasn't sand. It was volcanic ash, and those young Marines couldn't dig in because it kept falling out on top of them. Anyway, I know there's other people waiting, but I thought it may be appropriate, especially for as patriotic as you are, to remember that there were over 20,000 young, brave Marines 85 years ago who lost their lives or were wounded in that battle. The Marine Corps, the Navy Department, says there were 26,000. But it's the bottom line is we're able to speak to you today. And we're able to have the freedoms we have today, not only because of that one battle, but because of brave young warriors, teenagers at the time. Some of them are dead, and most of them are dead and 100 years old now, that gave their lives and sacrificed for something that was greater cause than themselves. Now, with that said, without having to take away from anything, I just wanted to say if Daryl was a Marine, I'm kind of embarrassed, and I hope he doesn't tell anybody. And I don't mean to take away from this story I told you, the true story about Iwo Jima and what it means to Marines and to American citizens. But I got a nickname for Daryl. Sometimes when he calls in, you know what a catfish is, all mouth and no brains.
Right.
So instead of just calling him Daryl, why don't we just call him Catfish? But anyway.
I'm really glad you said that. When I grew up, there was a park not far from where I grew up where they had a statue of the Marines, you know, planting the flag, which is one of the most famous pictures, really, in American history. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what it was all about until I asked. And that is a story that you told that that is truly remarkable, and I'm glad you shared it because it's one of the most important moments in American history.
Rosenthal took that picture, and that was the second flag raising, and I'll be honest, hair standing on the back of my neck right now, just almost emotional thinking about it, but hope we never forget.
Well, I'm glad you brought it to I think there were six people who did that. If you've never seen the picture for you young people, look it up. I mean, it is as classic and as poignant as anything you'll ever see.
Well, Paul, before I hang up and before I let you go, I know you're busy, but they don't teach us in school anymore. I learned that stuff before I even went in the Marine Corps. They don't teach American history like that anymore, and it's been a lost thing where people don't even know that President Roosevelt said the only thing we have to fear is itself. They have no freaking idea. But anyway, hopefully this my generation will, when we die, our history won't die with us.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I don't think as a young person or when you, I mean, my father fought in that war. I know you've talked about your service, and it's just, I don't want to sound like everybody else, Paul, but we live in a completely different world now, and but these things are worth remembering, and I'm in your debt, and we're all in your debt for bringing it up. Thank you so much. We take a short break. We will get back to the news at hand. John Talty, one of our regular guests, will join us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if this is my imagination or not, because I know Coach DeBoer is getting his staff together, but it seems like every time Nick Saban blows into town, he just completely consumes all the oxygen from the media. And speaking of the media, somebody who has written a best-selling book about Nick Saban and who has chronicled him for a number of years is John Talty, who joins us now. John, I guess you're aware Saban was in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham recently. Good afternoon.
He's been spotted out and about, Paul. And I think this is the reality of the situation for Kalen DeBoer. I think it'll probably diminish over a long period of time, but certainly in the short term. Anytime Nick Saban makes an appearance, that's obvious. But even just, I think when he does things that are different than how Nick did them, there's always going to be that natural comparison to, oh, Saban used to do it this way. And that's just something that he signed up for and is going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future.
Well, but and I guess the biggest difference so far, John, is that when Nick Saban talks, he creates news. When Kalen DeBoer talks, what happens?
Not much news so far, right? And I think that's probably, that's part of their personalities, and part of that's been earned over a really long time by Nick Saban and the success he's had. But this is something that I've talked about. I'll go inside baseball just for a second here, but you've been covering Nick Saban for a long time. I think you almost became accustomed to, or kind of forgot just how pretty much everything he said moved the needle. He had these kind of big picture topics that he could weigh in on that could draw people in far beyond just Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. And I think the media ecosystem around Alabama benefited from that for a long time. And so it'll be interesting to see whether DeBoer has that reach to this point. Of course, he doesn't. I think he's a name that fans are still getting accustomed to, still trying to learn about. Having been at Indiana, Fresno State, Washington, there's just not nearly that name recognition that a guy like Nick Saban has. But Saban as he kind of hit on in his comments the other day in the ESPN story, that's kind of what he's been doing for a long time at Alabama, just that he had a head coaching job and now he doesn't. And in theory, could be even, you know, more open with what he thinks about certain topics.
So let me get to that, John. He gave this interview, and I don't know. I'll defer to you. I didn't see a lot in there that I haven't heard a thousand times. He wants to be helpful. He wants to be a source of meaningful counsel. But the real question now is, what can he do, considering he's no longer the coach? He's a commentator.
Yeah, I think it's no different, I think, in some ways than what people like you and Kirk Herbstreit and others can do. I think when you have a large platform, you can potentially use that as your pulpit to put out the various ideas and theories that you have. Now, again, I think he's been doing that for a really long time. He doesn't have that natural, you know, 15, 20 people are going to be there every single time he talks. He's going to have to use ESPN and, you know, other places to get that message across. But that's kind of how I see it happening. I mean, now whether that proves to be effective, I think it's certainly to be determined. I think he's, and even in that story, he's talked about how he wants to do things, but I don't, you know, you can tell he's hesitant to put out too much in terms of specific details. So I think that would be the next step for him would be, okay, I've thought about it for the last X amount of months. Here's what I think needs to be done, and I'm going to start pushing these points to these key, you know, whether it's decision makers, congressmen, whatever it might be. That, I think, could allow him to, you know, help take that next step.
John, it was not my intent to bring this story up, but just looking at some of the Alabama sites, it seems like a story popped up yesterday that nobody was really expecting, maybe today or yesterday or today, but it is dominating a lot of airwaves, and we're getting a few calls about it. So I defer to you, since I realize now you're the national college football columnist for 24/7, but you know enough about Alabama. My question is, what happened with the dismissal, firing, refusal to agree to a new contract, whatever, of Eli Gold, who was the play-by-play broadcaster of the Crimson Tide for 36 years?
Yeah, Paul, I think breakups are hard, you know, whether that's a one-year breakup for maybe some of your listeners, or if you've been married to one place for 36 years. And I think, you know, based on what I know and also just kind of the public comments that have been made, I think you've got a situation in which someone like Eli Gold feels like he has given a lot to the university over his long, distinguished time there. Has a well-publicized, really challenging battle that, you know, took his life, and he fights back, and he gets back feeling like he can do the job again. And I think at that point, time had passed, and I think Alabama was already starting to think of what was next. And of course, they have that in Chris Stewart, who, you know, has been part of those broadcasts for a long time and handled their basketball. And I think they kind of got stuck between the old and the new. I think Eli was looking to stay on a little bit longer. And, of course, Alabama was ready to take that next step with their new main guy, Chris Stewart. And so it's just, it's unfortunate. I think it's always sad when you had, again, what's been a really good marriage for a really long time has to end the way that it has. But, you know, business can be cutthroat. And I think that Eli has learned that as much as he feels like he's given to Alabama, business is business, and they feel like they have a better option for what they're looking to do with Chris Stewart moving forward.
John, that makes a lot of sense. So I ask you a question to try to get inside somebody else's head, and that's not smart, but I'm going to do it anyway. Based on what Eli Gold said, because the university hasn't said anything, I don't think, they said, according to him, that they were going to let him do the spring game, not exactly where you want to end your career, but that's beside the point. And they were going to honor him, and, you know, he was going to go off gracefully. And most people, even though if they knew what really went down, were going to triumph this as an amazing career. I mean, he's 70 years old. That's young if you're, you know, sitting in the White House or running for the White House, but it's not young. Well, it's also young if you're on the game day set. But the point being, people understand it if you walk away. He chose not to do that, and I'm particularly curious, if I can ever get to the question on this long diatribe, why did he go? I don't know if I'd call it scorched earth, but it certainly seems that way.
I think it's just hurt feelings, Paul. I really think that's what it is. And again, I'm not Eli Gold. I don't get paid to be his representative. So I don't want to speak, you know, out of turn here. But just I think that his feelings are hurt. Again, I think it goes back to, you know, some of the health issues that he's had, him feeling like he's really given it his all. I have, you know, to this point, fortunately, have not had health concerns to that extent, but I could see myself putting myself in his shoes for a second. I could imagine if I had to go through what he went through and I fight my way to try to get back to my job and I feel like someone's in my seat and they're not going to get up, I could see how that could be hurtful. And I think that's where it stems from. Now, you know, for me personally, if I'm putting myself in that situation, I think I try to go out gracefully. I think, you know, I would, maybe this is a little selfish of me, but I would, you know, see how much it was worth their while for me to go quietly. And, you know, who knows, maybe it would be worth a lot. But I like the idea of here's my big moment, and then, you know, I'm going to dial back my overall responsibilities and I'm going to pursue some other projects in the meantime, but my time as the voice of Alabama is over. But it's obvious that Eli does not want to do that, that he wants to continue working at a high level. And I think that's where it seems like some of the tension arose from, of Alabama trying to, you know, send him out gracefully, kind of paint it as a retirement, and Eli being pretty forceful that this is not a retirement, this is not graceful, and I'm not leaving on my own terms.
Yeah. Now, by the way, you ought to, I know you're an accomplished writer. You got a book coming out in a couple of months, but you might want to go into public relations too, John. That is a very sensible reaction, and I get it. I mean, we all get hurt at some point in time. We all don't like what somebody else tells us to do, but it just, I'm just really sad about it because I've known this guy my entire professional career, and sadly, we all know the reality that the page gets turned and this is going to be the last thing most people see and hear.
Yeah, and I think, Paul, what you learn, and I don't want to, you know, go too far down this rabbit hole, but I think you've seen, if you look at it as our industry as a whole, I think journalism all, you know, make a big picture. I think a lot of people have unfortunately learned that, you know, the job's never going to love you as much as you love it. And I think we've all probably either have or will have that reckoning at some point that eventually there will be someone younger and better and smarter or whatever it might be, or we get to be too expensive or all these different factors. And that's just the reality of the life that people like you and I and Eli have all chosen. And, you know, one day it kind of comes for us all, and that's really sad. And I think that's what Eli is going through. And, you know, hopefully you never go through that, and hopefully I never go through that. But I think it's probably a reality at some point, at least for someone like me. And it's just kind of, you just try to get as good of a run as you can out of it. And I would hope that as time goes on, Eli can look back and be very happy and accomplished for all the things that he did, and how his voice will be part of so many memories for Alabama fans for many years to come.
Well, it's been a rough year in Alabama. You got Saban, you got Rick and Bubba, and now you have Eli Gold. I don't know if the state can take anything else. John, always great to talk to you, even about a subject I wasn't really thinking about, but I wanted to get some clarification because we keep getting calls, and I figured you would be the ideal person. Thank you, John. John Talty joining us from 24/7 on a number of different topics. We will come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are back, and Fritz is up next. Hello, Fritz.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Great show, as always.
I appreciate
everything you do. I got a question, and you probably expounded on this. I missed your show yesterday. But I got a question for you about the University of Missouri.
Yeah, sure.
I guess it was the curators that created a committee of oversight for the athletic director,
right,
or maybe the athletic department as a whole. And the next thing I understand, that caused a rift with Desiree, our AD.
Yeah, Desiree
and she
Francois.
Left and went to Arizona. And I've never heard of an oversight committee on an AD before. And I just wanted to know if you have any comments, because you went to a job that's in Varland.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I've known Desiree pretty well. She took a vastly inferior job in an athletic department that is absolutely chaotic at the moment. It's in turmoil. And I don't know all the details. And she said that she gave the usual, I wouldn't ever leave a great job like I had, except for the University of Arizona, which is a complete and bold-faced lie. So I didn't know about this curator deal, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, well, it's got me confused. And, you know, we've suffered a few losses with our coaching staff. And,
right.
I'm 72 years old and have been a Mizzou fan all my life. So I've seen a lot of ups and downs in college football, especially at our stadium. But I've never seen this before in my life. And if this is true, there's something wrong, and something happened beforehand, or there was a clash of wills here. So
yeah, no, Fritz, I don't know the answer, but I do know a little bit. So I'll see what we can find out. It's a big story. You've had two athletic directors now. We have one for an inferior job, Desiree, and then Ross Bjork left for the Ohio State University. Why do they put that, the Ohio State? Is that, don't you think that's condescending? George is up next in Louisiana. Hey, George.
Hey, can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good. Well, look, man, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to originally call just to thank you for having Brian Kelly on today. I got kind of used to him being on every week during the season, it seemed like, and it's always good to hear what he's got to say. I've got a real good feeling about BK. I think that the program's in good hands, and I really feel like we've got another national championship in our.
Yeah, I do too. I think it may come next year. I think that maybe a year away, but you know, people ask us. I get asked all the time, like, why do you have Brian Kelly on? Because we think it's fascinating. We don't discriminate here. We heard through some people that he was willing to come on last fall to give us an update every week. And how great is that, to have one of the top coaches in the country come on? And I mean, it's not like, we're not just going over the previous game. I mean, we're talking about issues in college athletics from one of the top five coaches in the country. So we're extremely appreciative of Coach coming on, and we're not turning down head football coaches if they want to come on the program. Cheerleader is up next in Birmingham. Hello,
hey,
cheerleader.
Paul. Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I've got several points I want to talk to you about. Everything's been very interesting lately. But do you remember a call from Charles? I still love Charles from Real Town when he called in and said he didn't think that women needed to be calling the show because they were stupid.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
I do remember that, and I laughed at it instead of getting mad at it. And about Eli Gold, Paul, how long ago did John Forney leave?
Well, John, long story short, John was the broadcaster for 25 years. Ray Perkins, one of the first things he did in 1983 was fire Forney. And then they fired the guy they fired Forney for in 1988 and brought John back. It was not a good idea. John was really kind of past that. They moved him out and made him the host of the program, and then Eli was hired as a result.
Well, John Forney was great, and Eli the same, and we're going to miss him at the golden microphone. They're calling the Alabama game. That's just, we're going to miss
him. Yeah, you know,
him.
A lot of people talk about it. Listen, Eli was my friend, but John Forney was like a second father to me, and he's one of the most special people in my life. And just, I mean, nobody's ever had a richer sound or a better vocabulary or could tell better, greater stories over a few bourbons than John Forney.
Great stories, all of them true.
Man, you know what I'm talking about because you knew John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the people he hung around with and what all they could talk
about. John hung around with quite a crowd. He told me a story. He used to live in New York, and he told me a story about how he was at the same table as Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe. And I will not tell you anymore because it would impugn John's wonderful memory, but it was pretty salacious.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.